Let's go to Acts 1 verse 14. Listen to this, 1 verse 14, Acts 1 verse 14. It says, these all continued. I wanted to preach this last night. So through one accord. Oneness. I told you, unity is on earth, but oneness is in heaven. Unity means we agree, but we disagree, but we can still walk together. But we agree that that speaker is black. You agree. You say the speaker is blue. But we, in our hearts, we are a unity. We walk together. No. That's a lower level. When there's no unity in heaven, there's oneness. God is three, but he's one. You'll see everywhere in Scripture where the Bible says that oneness came in. The power and the move of God was there. Angels were in this place tonight and are still here. And you'll see these angels dropping fire on your heads when we pray for you tonight. Oneness. With the, in the book of Chronicles, where the worshipers were worshiping with one voice, the glory came in. God is looking for a people that can walk with one accord. In their hearts, there's oneness. Meaning that, let's say ECC, let's say we are here, that when it comes to the vision of this, we are a one heart, knowing there's a God that is supernatural, number one. Number two, there's the prophetic that is alive. Number three, he has equipped and empowered me to do it. Everyone sitting here, that he has equipped you to do it. And we will take over cities and neighborhoods. It is by this fire that when you pray for someone, you don't pray a wishy-washy prayer. You just take their hands, and just with your presence being around them, they can feel but fire coming on you, from you onto them. You don't have to convince them to come to church. They'll say, what is this around you? It's somebody that walks in fire. Are you guys with me? Fire attracts attention. Without being pointed out, without having to notify others. If there's a fire here, everyone will see it and will run. When you are on fire, people will see it. The enemy will run, but people will be attracted. Was it William Booth that said, or John Wesley that says, dip me in a kerosene of your Holy Ghost and set me on fire, and the people will come and watch me burn. That is all. Get on fire. Well, how do you get on fire? It doesn't matter where you're sitting, if you're in the back or the front. It is having a heart and a spirit that is just saying, I'm open. This I want with everything that is inside of me. This fire I want. This fire is tangible. It's real. When we pray and everybody falls over, they tell me it's a Kundalini spirit and whatever, whatever. Listen, shut up. We have seen people. I remember at Cruise Door, we had meetings, and there was a guy that was big. The guy was like this to me. And he was sitting in the back looking at the whole, every meeting, looking at me. Angry. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, angry. And, dressed in black, and he's just sitting and he's looking. And I'm preaching and I'm preaching and I'm preaching and I'm looking, and I'm thinking, you're going to get hit by the fire of God. It was not, I think it was by the Wednesday night, the demons manifested in that guy. And then he tried to hit me, and his fist would stop here. He could not do anything. And I think it was Chris or Martin's first deliverance. I said, take him to the back and do deliverance. I want him free. You don't come out there unless he is free. Same night, another guy comes and soils his pants in front of the whole church. Right here, while I was preaching, he came screaming to the front. And he was lying on the floor, and this was in Kruger's store. And we're praying. It looked like he was floating in the air as the demons were manifesting in him. And he went to the back, got delivered, came out, and I think it was his birthday or something like that. And he was delivered completely from heroin, from being high, coming out to being sane, normal in his mind. This anointing is real. It is tangible. And the problem of today is not the wrong government or the devil. Listen to me, the devil has a field day, and he's also getting upset because everybody's blaming him. There are two types of churches that are rising. You get the seeker-sensitive church that's against the power of God. And then you have a church that moves in power. Those were the two churches, or the two churches that will move now in the end time. The one will birth a generation of antichrists. people having an antichrist. What is antichrist? John says in the Bible, he says, listen here, there are many antichrist spirits in the church already. Anti-power, antichrist Christos, the anointing. Somebody that is anti the anointing. That if this happens with tonight, they'll say it's the devil. Now you want to tell me they're going to heaven, that person? They have no discernment. They cannot discern the power, and they are against it, and they birth a church. Do you know that if I have to preach in a seeker-sensitive church, if I have to do like that, they would have chased me out by the 5 minutes of preaching, because they are unable to receive revelation. Some have sat many long in those churches as well, as you come here and it feels like you cannot receive. You cannot fall over or this or that. It's because your spirit has been closed by a word that kills, by antichrists, raising antichrists. Yes, everybody's afraid of the antichrist. Listen, the antichrist, he'll be raptured before that happens. So we haven't even taught you on the book of Revelation, okay? That is not going to come. We are not in the new millennial. There's no Christ that has returned. There is no, at this moment, okay? There's a time schedule when it comes to the book of Revelation. By Revelation chapter number 4, the church has been raptured. Are you guys with me? In the twinkling of an eye, he will come like a thief at the night. The Bible says that two will sleep, and all of a sudden one will be taken away, and the other one will wake up and see the one. Two will walk, and one will be taken away, and the other one will walk. Antichrist, don't worry. People are like, Donald Trump is the antichrist, or this one or that one. Please. You know, he might just be more safe than you sitting here. So, so you have a church that's antichrist, and they birth antichrist people. That's why many walk in here and they feel they don't know what's going on. Some scream and say, leave us, when we pray to pray, leave us alone, leave us alone. Okay, one person came to me from a church, a very big church, came to us afterwards in shock. She's like, I don't know why they came forward to me. I said, what do you want? She says, nothing. I said, why are you here then? And they say, we are from this church. I said, oh, okay. I said, that's great. And they said, we don't believe in this stuff. I said, but you are on TBN and about 60 other channels or whatever. I said, and you don't believe in this stuff? Why don't you believe it? No, the laying on of hands. It's basic, foundational, elementary doctrines. Elementary means it's elementary school things. It shouldn't even be discussed. And within there is even the raising of the dead. It shouldn't be discussed. Are you guys with me? I'm not speaking of a fake coffin coming in church. I'm speaking of the raising of the dead. Okay. Where are we? Acts chapter number 1. Listen to me. Let me read quickly so we can pray, so we can do things. Acts chapter number 1. Say with me, all with one accord. Say oneness. Go to Acts chapter number 2, verse 1. 2 verse 1. Listen to this. Acts 2 verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, I'm not going to explain to you, there's no such thing as a Pentecost movement. The day of Pentecost was simply a celebration. I don't want to explain, get into it. I've preached on it before. It's, for example, LGBTQ? Is it LGBTQ? Okay. Huh? Plus. Okay, LGBTQ plus. I don't know, whatever. Okay. They have a day of celebration. God bless you if you're here. When we come with a fire, may whatever devil there is, I do not care what. Listen, government does not set in the laws of God. LGBTQ plus day celebration in Cape Town. Now that is happening, and they have your festivals, okay? And they have a parade. And if what is happening is, it was during that time, LGBTQ plus, for example, that was a celebration, and you encounter God just in that parade, maybe in a house on that day that is called that day of celebration. Does that now make you an LGBTQ plus Christian? That's what Pentecost, it just happened on Pentecost. The experience they had was not Pentecost. So churches have gone around and called themselves Pentecost Church, Pentecostal this or no, no, no. Pentecost was just a feast, a celebration and a feast like we do celebrate. But the outpouring just happened to be on the day. So people go and call themselves Pentecost Christians. That's what, no, no, no. It just happened on the when the day of Pentecost had fully come. Pentecost simply means 50th day. They were all with, say with me, one accord. Again, one accord in one place. Say with me, one place. Location will determine your miracle. I'm telling you. Jesus, while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they wanted to grab him, and Judas exposed him. And they said, who are you looking for? They said, Jesus. He said, I am he. When he said, I am he, a young little boy was raised from the dead by accident. Just happened to be in the right location. And the Bible says in the book of Mark that a naked boy ran through the garden with a garment around him. And some attack me and some preachers attack me and say, no, 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 this is Mark now that was running. No, it was not Mark. There was no city close by. There was a graveyard right next to the Garden of Gethsemane. And when Jesus said, I am he, and over 600, now listen, let me tell you, that's, let's say the same number here, over 600 falling backwards, say with you, backwards, under the power of God. They stood up and they asked the same question because time was interrupted and they forgot what they've asked. Because when he said, I am he tapped and spoke the same words what God said to Moses. And he said, I am, he said, I am who I am. Are you guys with me? I am the I am. He tapped into the same words. When he said those words, they fell. And then a young boy ran with a cloth around him. And the cloth in the Greek is a grave cloth. A cloth you bury somebody with. Which means he happened to be buried in the right place at the right time. And it was an accidental miracle. The Bible says, in the middle of a war scene of 600 soldiers, a naked boy ran because Jesus spoke words of life, words of power. May you receive a miracle that you haven't even thought of, an accidental miracle. You might have not even thought of your children that is drug addiction, or your family that needs freedom, or your job that you need a promotion, but may it happen just because you are in the right location. In an atmosphere where the presence of God is, nothing is impossible. Are you guys with me? The anointing can be felt. You can feel that it's tangible. Acts chapter number 2, on the day of Pentecost. See, so you see, people must never ask me to preach a chapter of the Bible. This is how long it takes. We're on verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord, one place, oneness. And suddenly, so it is suddenly, when there is oneness, when a people has one mind, one agenda, one, in the Greek it says one heart, one soul, one passion, one mind, one motive, oneness, there is suddenly that begins to take place, which means you will go home and suddenly there will be deliverance. Suddenly, like we have a testimony, money will appear in someone's car with the windows closed, the cash just lying. It's supernatural. Don't ask us to explain it. God cannot be explained. If God can be explained, he is not God. And suddenly, say with me, suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled, so with the fields, the whole house where they were sitting. Next verse. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And this is what I heard, is that every person here tonight, listen, or you can leave, and you can leave now. Fire will sit upon you when we pray for you tonight. It will sit upon you. Can, is your life comfortable? Or is your life aligned in a place where the fire can sit upon you? And the fire of God can be relaxed upon your life. Are you guys with me? And the fire sat sitting on them. Verse 3. verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak. Say with me, speak. I wanted to do praying in other tongues last night. We didn't get to it. When we pray for you for the fire tonight, if you cannot pray, how many here can pray in other tongues? Raise your hands for me. That's many. Look at this. Wow. I was in a meeting of 5,000 people. I think you were there in Durban where Apostle Maldonado was. You remember? And it was like 5,000 people. And he asked, how many of you are praying tongues? Uncle Mike, no one raised their hands. Like 5% raised their hands. Even the pastors in the fraternal that I used to be, thank God, okay, that I used to be, didn't even raise their hands. They'll just sit like this while revival is happening. They just look. I thought, no. And he called us up. Is that right? He called me up. Yeah, he called me up and he said, with some other pastors, he said, look, how many, no one can pray in tongues. What are you doing? It was not my church. I didn't, don't rebuke me. It's okay. It's nothing to do with me. You know. And with these pastors, some of them I've flown on planes. And one of them I was flew on, it was a couple. I meet them on plane. They probably first class or business, I don't know. And I meet them and they know exactly who I am. And I go up and greet them, that they will act like they cannot see me. The one person was in a wheelchair, so he couldn't get away fast enough. You know who I'm talking about. I was walking up to him and he's, you know, I went to the wife and I hugged her. But you know, when you hug, it's like, and I'm hugging and I'm like, these people are hating me. And I go up to the man with the wheelchair and I can't tell you his name, eh? You will. And I can take, they can't get away. And I go and greet. They were mad. Because they listen lies to the person. Yeah. Began to speak, so you had to pray in other tongues. That's what I felt. That when we lay hands on you, just the Bible says they began to, say with you, began to speak. They began to speak. So when we lay hands on you with fire, begin to speak in other tongues. It's that simple. It's no special lightning, just open your mouth and begin to speak. Brasco te elevandias kateke. Laruske te evai. Brendoska avlekana maskete. Paruske brende iske. Vlasko te kena masketaya. Sebasko te kena maandre dusketaya. Brendoske de la boske te kelabaya. Vrasko te kelavaya. Lebuske evandele dioske de la bendriosketaya. Pero duske de la vara kebara adioske te kele benamaya. Paraste in de benabasko te kena maya. Veska asko te kedra bondele de la beske tarabaya. Brendoske de la beske ta ale kele bondieske taya. Zero no signoros kedo skravarieske tayan. Randoske de la badre endele benamaya. Paroroska de la vara kedele bendioske te kee. Keraske te kedele benamaroske te kena maya. Baroske de la be. Baruske de lebendieske de lebedabai. Baruske de lebendele de la busheke de lebedabai. Zindieske de lebedabai. Zariries, seke na 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 na. Bariries, sera na na na. Ziriries, na na na. Ziriries, na na na. Laruske de lebedabai. Brasko de reva alendeske de rebondieske taiadena. That is how easy it is. Amen. Now, you start off with one word, la ba la ba la ba la ba. I have a vocabulary. I just tell people, change gears, brother. Just don't sit on ra ta 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 the whole time. Change gears. Okay. It's a language of the Holy Ghost. It's a language of heaven. A language has verbs and tenses and commas. I want you to please pray for us because we have a revival breaking out and there's much more than just who's here. And with that comes serious attacks. The devil hates Christians who know that they have power. Like I said to you, the devil hates even as soon, when it comes to building churches, when it comes to empowering and equipping, the devil will do everything to stop it. Because the a lot of people want to go to crusades. That's okay. But the best evangelism is done through church planting. Verse 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound appeared, so the sound, the multitude came together and were confused. When people will look at you, they'll become confused. When the enemy looks at you, they'll look and become confused. Go to verse 13. Just follow me quickly on the screens. Verse 13. The Bible says, others mocking them, saying they are full of new wine. When you are full of fire, a religious spirit or others will mock you. They'll say, but why do you want to be, why do you want to pray the whole time? Listen, when fire is in you, you cannot help because it stirs you automatically. Why do you want to, I remember when I just got saved, people were telling me, why are you praising and worshiping the whole time? Why? That's all I knew what to do at the time. Are you guys with me? Verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men, go to verse 16. He was saying to them, he says, don't be confused. These are not drunk as you suppose. Verse 16. But this is that. Say with me, this is that. I know it says different in King James Version. It is this is that. What is that? That which the prophet Joel spoke about. That in the last days it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Say with me, all flesh. Are you flesh that is in this place? That means you qualify for the spirit. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Say with me, prophesy. This is the language of the spirit. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. This is God. Then we have these people. One gentleman, we'll call him a gentleman, not a minister. Okay. He's got 11,000 people or whatever. He says, yeah, that encounter, I'm emailing you to ask you for help with something because I honor and admire what you're doing. He says, yeah, these people that have an encounter, put on Facebook. And he says in his pulpit, he said, you know, they speak in tongues from the stage and they prophesy. This is not scriptural. Do not forbid anyone of speaking in tongues. Do not forbid anyone of prophesying. Scripture is very clear. It's the Antichrist spirit that has entered the church. Lives are not changed by principles. Lives are changed by revelation. The opening up of the word. No principle can change a human heart. It is revelation. It is power and demonstration that says to our human heart, but wait, that God is here, or he's touching. It's not a principle that can take a human heart. A man that has maybe been abused, beaten up, or is a bully, and break his heart and cause him to become soft. What principle can do that? It is revelation. It is the Holy Ghost. It is the fire of God that changes people's lives. It is nothing but the fire. When I lack the fire, I rob people of their salvation and their deliverance when I go out and minister to them. Are you guys with me? Daughters, young men shall see visions, your old men shall prophesy. Go with me to verse number 39. Verse number 39. For the promise, the Holy Ghost, is to you. Say it is for me and my children and to all afar off. As many as the Lord our God will call. Say it is for me and my house. This is the Holy Ghost. The fire is for you and your house. The fire is promised to any person. This fire is unquenchable. I do not care if you are unemployed, if you are battling with circumstances, get on fire. You will see the enemy making way for you. You will see doors opening up for you. Listen. Verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them. This is now Peter saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Next verse. Then those who gladly received his word, say they gladly. You cannot receive the word other way around. Gladly. Here, guys. gladly. I was in your guys' church when I said that I come in as a minister for and as a revivalist, and this is my job. I am the one that has to put in a set bill. What do you call it? A suppository. And then there's a release, and then after I'm done, the children are happy again. They're smiling, they're laughing, the crowd is laughing. Then I go back and the pastor kills them again and makes them constipated. And then I have to go and do suppository again. Receive the word, say with it gladly. Why do you think I sometimes when I prophesy to people, I talk to them? And ask questions. Of course I ask questions. I will never say, God said that. And I ask, how many children do you have? You say three. And now I take you to the front and I say, God says you have three children. Please, don't you think I would have been caught out already? Shut up. Everybody that knows that I've prophesied over will know. I say there. How many? I say, wait. I say, I see three children. Yes. I see two girls, one boy. Yes. I see this one with this age. Yes. Yes. Then I prophesy. Why? That is not prophecy. That is just telling them God is interested in this situation. That their faith can rise. That when I give the word of the Lord, they listen. Are you guys with me? And so I'm the suppository, the guy that comes in, and then when we leave, the children are happy. Beforehand, there was this really sour face, religious looking. Yes, I've been attacked on pulpits. My team would know they've been with us. Huh? One man said, I can also do what Leon does. He's no one special. His church begins to walk out. I'm standing in the back. I'm like, are you stupid? Like, rather just shut up. No one special. Harald, you must not idolize man. You must not worship Leon. Am I right? And the church began to empty and empty and it's gone now. Do not touch God's prophets. I tell my people, whether white, colored, Indian, black, do not touch God's prophets. You don't know if heaven has approved of them. Those who gladly receive this word, gladness, it must come with you. You must sit and be joyful. That's why I like to make jokes sometimes, to make people let their guard down to receive God. You have to do it. When I prophesy many times, I'll touch someone. Affection opens up the gateway into the spirit realm. Gladly received his word, were baptized. And the day about 3,000 were added to the church. Souls were added to them. Next verse. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. Go through the next verse, verse 33. Then fear, so with the fear, came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs are done through the apostles. You will still see this church reaching many cities. This is what we are doing. We are just preparing. You know, I mean, this conference we started advertising 4 days ago. Well, 4 days before it started. Literally, 4 days before it started. When I say advertise, we just put it on available. The numbers is easy to get, but that's what we're focusing on. Jesus at 12. And only three could go up the mountain and see Moses and Elijah with him with God's glory. Just give me a few that are on fire and you will see cities, neighborhoods, that when you leave here tonight, there must be an activation. That I'm going to say, even before it gets to Sunday, you need to do something. That is an activation. Are you guys with me? That the church can spread. So then fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. You know, everybody's like, every sign we're doing, oh, that's a false or lying sign. Well, yet it's true signs. Are you guys with me? Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods. Now there's a different, whole different experience. I'm not saying everybody must do this. If you want to, you can gladly do it. But you know, don't go around and say they came from one church and said, Leon said, telling all the young people they must sell all their stuff and come and bow before him. Because the kids got so touched the first few weeks when we started the church. They just sold computers and instruments and just wanted, you know, when, listen to me, when my heart is touched by God, you become giving. When you are not touched by God, giving, you want, when the anointing is really present, listen to me, I've been in meetings where there's anointing, you feel like you want to give everything. Yes, it might not be, we don't, maybe the guy, the person is riding a Bentley or whatever, it doesn't matter, but or maybe they're using or abusing the money. I've been in church, the anointing is so strong, when you walk out, you just feel you have nothing left. And I would make a decision. I was the one church in America. I said, I will not take my wallet. I will not take my cards. I will just go. And because the anointing will come to such a place where God wants you to give. And I remember I said, and then I had nothing. And then I sold my Apple Watch, the only Apple Watch that I had, because it was on me. Because the anointing, it is where there's a move of God, people will give. There has to be no manipulation. There has to be no control. It is God that is stirring up in the people to give because there's something that is happening. That is it. Are you guys with me? And and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among us all and anyone had need. So when the fire comes, and people becomes giving. So continually dealing with one accord in the temple and breaking bread for the house and house that had food with gladness and simplicity. So the simplicity. Christianity is gladness and simplicity of heart. Praising God. And the Lord added to the church daily. I'll close now. I'll go with me to Acts. Let's see where we can go. Go with me to Acts chapter number 3 verse 1. And just relax. Don't push me for time. We're going to pray for you now. Now Peter and John went up together. Now remember, they were touched by the power and the fire of God. To the temple at the hour of prayer. So the hour of prayer. It didn't matter their status. It didn't matter if they were the big or great men of God. Because they were so touched by fire, they wanted to go be with prayer meetings and go and pray. A lot of people pray because they feel they have to. When the fire comes, you pray because you want to. It's something that is drawn in you. You just want to spend time with believers because of a fire. And they saw a man, a lame man, and they pulled him up and they said, rise up and walk. Under the fire of God, your business will be pulled up. Come with me to verse number 30, Acts chapter number 4, verse number 31. We'll close off here. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, that I can pray for you. Acts 4, verse 31. It says these words. It says, and why I'm just reading scriptures, because last night we just talk in Revelation, then people say you never open your Bible. So now tonight, I thought, let me just read, okay? And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together. Are you guys with me? Say with me. As they prayed. Does it say as they were sitting and talking? No. No. Does it say as they were sitting and talking? Okay. As they were praying. The place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. But when there was oneness, the building they were sitting in was shaken by the power of God. When you were here in our conference in oneness, when it was last year, this building was shaken by the power of God. Not by a wind, by the power of God. It is a sign that is in scripture that is saying that it doesn't matter about the persecution, that I validate this move of God in this place. That anybody that is under this roof, you have seen signs and wonders. You'll see the fire falling tonight. But you have seen signs and wonders. You have seen the validation and the fingerprint of God. Go out and spread it to others. Are you guys with me? Verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believe were of one heart, serving one heart, one soul, oneness. That's what it is. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they were great, but they had all things in common. And with great power, it doesn't say power. Where there's oneness, where there's people with a giving heart, great power will be the result. Number one. Number two. Say with me, great grace. If there will be not grace, there will be great grace. Grace upon grace. that it doesn't matter what you've done in your past. God has forgotten it. It doesn't matter what has happened. Great grace, where a people operate in oneness and a people operate in a spirit of giving. God is saying, that place there, I'll give great power, I'll give great grace to come upon them. Grace also means a measure to do something that you cannot do. Grace is a measure that is given to you. That if you have a grace for business, it means you're not normal business. You do it at a level of supernatural, which others cannot do. When you have grace for ministry, or a gift of grace as a prophet, it means you can do something that others cannot do. He's saying, listen here, when oneness is there, when giving is there, and when the place was shaken by the power of God, there'll be great power. Tonight, when fire falls, great power will be given to you. Great power will be imparted. And great grace. Are you guys with me? Great grace. Not was there anyone among them who lacked. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. Say with me, no one lacked. That's what I'm praying. This will happen under this anointing. If God can take a Miriam from being a zero, if He can take me from being nothing and bless my life, He can bless your life. Are you with me? And none of them lacked anything. For all who were possessors of lands or houses, they sold them, brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas, listen to me, this is how Barnabas went into ministry. He says, by the apostles, which is translated as son of encouragement, and Levi, he came, having land, he sold it, and he brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, even scripture says he even had much, much more than that. He sold a big part, he laid it down, and that was the gift that put him in ministry. But this is speaking of a move of God. Where God is saying it, because I was thinking, I didn't plan to do this. I'm just reading scripture and see what's coming out. But I was praying this afternoon, and I was saying, God, the people here are giving big. There is prosperity. Well, let me say it like this. Provision is a sign that God is with a ministry. The worst thing is to have a ministry that always begs and asks for money. Please, I'm a missionary. I want to go there. Can you give me so much money? And you know. It's brought God into disrepute. If God has called me, I said, I don't want to ask for money. And when I touched my feet in Centurion, this one phoned me for coffee, that one phoned me for coffee. And then they were just saying, we just felt led to give you this amount on a monthly basis. I didn't ask them for 1 cent. And we were just provided for. And God has multiplied us 100 times more than that. How many of you say you are, just by the raising of your hand, that you are right now, you want the fire of God? Nothing fake, nothing made up, nothing fabricated. I want you, as you are, have your seats. We're going to get into it right now. We have a gift to give you, and then I'm going to pray. And the fire of God is on me. It's burning on my head right now already. You know, we have live streams. If you watch it, you'll see the angel standing by me when I prophesy. Go watch the live streams. A lot of people think the Holy Ghost says, no. On live stream, the guys would come to me and show to me on live stream. I think we have, there's a couple. I want you, as you feel led, we say, sow a seed for Pentecost for conference. During this time, like it's a feast. Just give out, because we want to take up offerings so we can pray for you and get to that. But give in the fire of God. Give into a place in the soil, believing God. I think, who was it? Was it John Henry? Where's John Henry? Was it yesterday? I didn't hear what happened, but you said that, just say what happened. Although you should have given more, but let's just say what you said.
Okay, guys, so I was standing in the back and Chris was talking about, you know, giving into fruitful ground. And I had this client that owes me money. So I said, God, if this client pays me now, I will give X amount of money. And I couldn't believe it. It was just after about a minute when I said that, my phone went ping, and as I lifted out, the client paid me. And I can show you the SMS that's on my phone. So
believe in it. I said to you that there's a fire. There's certain seeds. I was preaching at Lost Night on the night before. There's certain seeds. If there's a felt or a bushfire, who is in the, who is Daniel here? Who's here? Daniel here? Who knows bush or felts or stuff like that? And maybe Daniel knows, I don't know, maybe Mijon, I don't know. But, hey? maybe Uncle Mike, I don't know, somebody that knows bush. Where's Daniel? Oh, is he there? Have you you guys are farms.
Yes,
is your,
that's correct.
Is your grandfather here?
No, he's not here.
Not here. So you guys are farms. And is it true that when there's a fire, you know, you burn a fire, and when it's controlled, there's certain seeds that can only break open or have life when there's a felt fire. And you'll see that after that fire, it becomes green again and fresh.
Yeah, that's correct.
You know, so there's seeds, that there's certain seeds, it cannot live without a fire, without a touching fire. I was just talking to him because they have farms, and I thought maybe your grandfather was here. Did you study farming or agriculture?
Yeah, I studied agriculture.
Did you study agriculture? Yeah. So what I'm saying, is it true? Is that?
Yeah, 100%. We do it twice a year, actually.
Okay, okay. So there's a fire, even under the presence of God, that there's certain seeds that can only break out open when there's fire. So make sure you sow into a place where there's fire. Don't go sow in, you know what, throwing on a cement and expecting God to now to grow it. You know, you must understand the soil must be right. The nutrients, vitamins, everything must be right for that seed to grow. Then there needs to be fire that can make that seed open up. But you've heard testimonies. I'm not here to manipulate. I want to encourage you. Give a big seed for this Pentecost and saying, God, thank you. You know, all he wants us to say is to hear people say thank you. And maybe it's tithing, maybe it's your time of tithing or whatever, there's bank details, there's an envelope, everything on your seat. And I said to someone, I have seen churches die. And then I would find out that they've never tithed. We as a church, I tithe as a church. You don't see people, somebody said, you know, I will never give into a church if I don't see the pastor tithe. So they want to see the pastor doing this now. Okay. And then many of them lie. They just put a fake and empty envelope in there to make that church now. So I'm not sowing into my own church. I tithe me, I tithe up. And from the church, I tithe up. So that anointing can stay here. I know what sets an anointing in place or not. Traveled over many churches. And I would know what's the common denominator. And you know, when churches make a lot of money, it's very difficult for them to tithe. Very, very difficult. And you know, and I said to somebody, I said, yeah, I do it as a law. We do it. So the people that tithe here, that their money can touch holy ground. It's open. We are open about our finances. And it is, and it's used everything just for the vision. But if you're touched by this ministry, maybe it's tithing, offering, giving, whatever it is, let's stand to our feet.